Well, it is good to be back with you guys. I love to ask this anywhere, anytime I'm back somewhere. It's been a couple years, actually, since I've been here, which is crazy. But I love to ask this, even with that introduction, even though I've been here a few times, and even though I've been in 40 to 50 states and been on all that he just said, this is one of my favorite parts of what I get to do. I do love doing stand-up. I love doing that, but I love to be able to just be real and be honest. And today's kind of like an unplugged area for me. But even with that, how many of you before this moment have never seen me before in your entire life? Raise your hands. That is so awesome, because I've never seen you before either. So we're on the same page. Well, let me just set the tone for this morning by saying this. One of my, I guess not favorite, but one of the most unusual phrases I've ever heard is an Italian phrase called Mamma Mia. And I could not help, my wife was really big into the big movie that came out, Mamma Mia with ABBA. She loved ABBA. And I thought, what does that phrase mean? So I kind of went back and looked, and those who are from Italy, those who really are in that culture, they said basically it's when an event or a gift or some situation or some experience happens that is just wow. And they said it's basically the same version as wow. So mamma mia, wow. And this morning, because of Mother's Day, I hope that every one of us, mothers, not mothers, people, those who follow Christ, those who look for Christ, those who are saying, you know what, I just want to live life to the fullest. I believe that what I'm going to get to share here in a minute is literally going to have a Mamma Mia moment in it for you today, which is a life-changing moment. Now, having said that, I do want to acknowledge, and I want to ask this question real quick. I want you, if you're a mom, I want you to raise your hand and hold up the number of fingers of the number of children you have, okay? If you're a mom, raise your hand with four, okay, two, okay? That's awesome. Now, for those of you who have one child, that's fantastic. I'm excited. But the moms that have more than one child, I have a simple question. Why? Why would you do that? You know what's going to happen. You know the misery of 9 months of pain and water retention and pain and sleeping on your side and morning sickness. And my wife said, why do they call it morning sickness? I have it all day. And why would you do that? And then one day of massively horrendous pain. And you know that's going to happen. So why would you do that? I believe with all my heart it is a gift from God, a Mamma Mia moment for you to get a glimpse of what He is like, what God is like, because it says very simply in the first part of the New Testament where He says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that even if you've not been to church much, you've probably been to Easter at some point in your life, and that's the Resurrection Sunday, and there's this one moment in there that's just amazing where God has become a man and submitted Himself to all of us, and He's literally endured one of the, if not the greatest beating in the history of the world, and then crucified on a cross. And it says this in another part of the New Testament in Hebrews, but for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. And I believe that if you're a mom, you've got a glimpse of that. It's not the pain, it's the joy that comes after that. That's the reason why you had more than one. And I'm personally thankful for that and that mindset, because I'm the deprived middle child. So if it was just the pain, I would not exist. So I'm glad you're here. But I believe when moms get pregnant, they go to mom school. I do not know where this school is, but for all of history, every mother says basically the same things. And I think they learned them at mom school. I'll give you an example. You finish the phrases. Keep your elbows. That's just amazing. My mom used to say another phrase. Let me get the right one here. Don't frown or your face will freeze that way. Stay that way. Exactly. Now, this is one last night. Marcus had shared this with me. I love this one. He says, and his mother said it and mine did too, this is going to hurt me. What a lie. That's wrong. I wanted to just go, well, then let's switch places and I'll take the big pain. I really wanted to go, well, hey, let's avoid the pain this time around. I'll let you go, you let me go. And the truth is, but there's a couple that are, for me, Mamma Mia moments. And this gift, and I'm going to share three gifts basically this morning, or three categories. The first one is Mamma Mia moments, these moments from my mom. And you finish this phrase, if you can't say something nice, don't see anything at all. I believe that is hotwired into moms from God. There's an amazing verse in Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only that which is good, that it would meet the need of the moment of those who hear." That changed my life, because I literally thought, I need to live that. And as I've shared that and spoken that over and over and over, it's like, you know what? We have so great effect. There's that phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's not true. Words can devastate, and words can literally edify and build up in a way like none others. And mom, your words are that way to us. My wife, and this is an example of that, my wife had, she was very sensitive. And she is very sensitive about words. Language arts teacher, and she's very astute in that area. Well, when our boys were small, they're in college now, but when they were 4 and 5, she just got tired of the word stupid. She's like, I don't like that word. Stop using that word. She decreed that we were not using that word. It was too degrading. Stupid is a bad word. And my boys literally refer to it as the S word. And we would be in public, and they're like, "Mom, they said the S word." And we realized, wait a minute, that's a little different. But so she decreed in our house that if you say the S word, you will go to the bathroom and you will wash your mouth out with soap if you say the S word. But we're at dinner one night. She's telling a story of the day. Something happened. She's a teacher at work. And my boys are sitting there eating, and they just stopped and dropped their forks. And Heather went, what? I said, "Mom, you said the S word." And she went, "Oh my goodness, you're right. You know what that means." And they're like, "You go wash your mouth out with soap." She said, "You're right." And she starts to get up. There's a little half bath right off of our kitchen. And as she's watching, as she's walking there, I know what she's going to do. She's going to go in there and turn on the water and go, "Ow, oh, ah." She's going to make the sound. So she got about halfway there. I looked at the boys. I said, "Hey, guys, you want to watch?" And and they're like, "Yeah." And she turned around and went. And it was just one of those moments where I thought, you know what? It's worth the pain. It's worth the punishment. But the truth is that words mean everything. And if we can't say something nice, I'm telling you, you want to change your world. If I want to change my world this week, live by that truth. I'm only going to say that which is edifying to those who need to hear it. And I'm telling you, I don't know exactly how Cincinnati traffic is. I know how Atlanta traffic is. That's not easy to do, to just be in that and go, I'm going to say nothing, because it's within there. And we get in the habit of only saying that which is edifying. It changes us and those around us. It's an amazing moment. Another one I got from my mom was this one: actions speak louder than words. And there's a beautiful verse in the book of James where it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And that doers is an ongoing piece. It used to drive my mother crazy. She'd be like, "Clean your room." And I'm like, "I did. Well, it's terrible now, but I did last month. I cleaned the room. It was clean." And it's not about doing it once. It's not about agreeing with the truth. It's not even about doing the truth once and go, "Okay, got that, check it off the list." It's about perpetually saying, "Okay, am I taking the truth in? Am I doing it on a regular basis?" Because the motive behind it is for our good. God wants us to experience that. And he goes, be doers of the word for your good. Now, my mom used to get frustrated. And because we weren't doers, we would have to be told to do it over and over, and I'm experiencing that now. But if we were honest and we had to answer honestly our mothers to every question, we would all be dead right now. I don't know if you realize this. My mother's favorite question when she was in that frustrated moment, she'd be like, "Do you people think I am talking just to hear myself talk?" And if we're honest, well, nobody else is really listening to you right now. We would be dead. But I know that frustration. My youngest son, we adopted a young man about a year and a half. He's been with us, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, tie your shoes. I don't want him to trip. I don't want him to fall. I don't want, I'm just like, tie your shoes. And I'm the dad. I'm like, you know what? I'm not all about just correcting. I learned this process years ago where you teach them, then you train them, then you correct them. And I've taught him how to tie his shoes, and then I've trained him. I've done it with him. And even recently I said, okay, and his shoes are untied. And I'm like, dude, tie your shoes. You know what? Let me tie them for you. I know how to do it. And I'm like, well, if you did, you would. And so I get down on my knees and I tie his shoes. Well, they just always come undone. I said, well, double tie them. Let me show you how to double tie them. I know how to do that. I'm like, again, if you did. And so I get down and I tie his shoes double, and then he's walking around with one shoe untied, and I'm like, dude, tie your shoe. They're like, I did. I'm like, well, double tied. I did. Well, no, you didn't. I double tied it. Look at the, let me show you how to do this again. And it's still happening. It drives me crazy, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, here's the deal. I'm going to share that because I don't want you tripping. I don't want you falling. I'll show you it again. He goes, I know. And I'm like, no, you don't, because if you knew, you would do. That's the difference. That's the mama mia moment, if you will, that when we get to that point, we're like, okay, I've heard the truth. I agree with it. I've tried it. I know it works, but am I doing it? Am I doing it on an ongoing basis? That's when we know the truth. We know it's true, but is it true of you? In an intrinsic and a regular basis? Is it true of me on an ongoing basis? Those are ones that I've just learned. Well, that's kind of the gift from mom. Now, I've got a gift for mom, and this is really for all of us, but specifically for moms. My wife has a motto, and she has never said it out loud, but I believe it completely is her motto of life, and that is, worry early and beat the rush. She worries about parts of life that haven't and probably will never happen. And yet she's worried about it. And she will obsess over it. And these gifts to moms, I want to just share a couple. And there's an amazing truth. I would even encourage you, if you one of these hits you, take this truth from God. And maybe even this week, commit to memorize it and let God overwhelm you with it. The first one is simply this. For moms, trust the truth. Trust the truth, this truth. Trust the truth. There's a verse in the book of John. John was one of the disciples, and he in chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What area of life do I need to experience that freedom? Now, if you're a mom, there's a chance that within your kids, I think it was either Irma Bombeck or Carol Burnett that said this. It said, if you want to understand what it's like to have a child, just pull your heart out of your chest and watch it walk around. It's one of those where we desire so much as parents to have our kids know the truth. And as a dad and as a parent, I want them to know the truth because I know the freedom in the truth. But here's the part I want us to get is that if I am taking in the truth, and I am seeking to learn the truth, and I am seeking to do the truth and live the truth, that in and of itself will be the foundation that our kids are seeing. That will be it, because here's a phrase I heard years ago, and it's really true. More will be caught than will ever be taught. And if we are ingesting and we are trying to live it out, now listen, I've made more mistakes than probably all of you combined as a dad and as a parent. But I'll tell you, it happens. And I am actively daily seeking. I read a chapter every day. I take one verse a week and try to commit it to memory and just let it be a part of me. And that's become my life. And I'm here to tell you, I have two sons in college now, and they are not perfect, but they are pretty darn great young men. And one day, about a year ago, convinced me that the truth will set me free. It'll set me free from anxiety about my kids. It'll set them free as I share just in life what's going on. I was invited to speak at my kids' school. They go to a school, my wife teaches there, and my two sons have graduated from there, and I have my two younger go there. And the headmaster, a man I greatly respect, one of the greatest leaders I've ever met, invited me to address the entire staff before school, kind of as a encouragement. He says, Ken, I've heard you speak corporately, and it's amazing. Will you come and do and encourage our staff? And I said, absolutely. Well, it came time for me to get up, and Dr. Tilly got up, and he said, we have a very special guest. He's a father of some of our students, a husband of one of our teachers, and he's got many accolades, and I would be glad to share them with you. He says, but I'm not going to introduce him today. And I thought, okay. And he said, I have a special guest to introduce him. And from behind the curtain walked my oldest son. And it just caught me off guard. And my oldest son, and I've got what he wrote out, but what he said from memory, from the heart, was not everything he wrote out. He said, I know several of you. I've had you for class, and I'm thankful for you. You are in for a treat because I get to introduce one of the greatest men I've ever met. He said, I know what it means to live out truth because of what I've seen my dad do. I know what it means to live by conviction instead of what is popular because I've had a front row seat to see him do that. I see what it means to not compromise when everybody else is compromising because I have lived with my dad. I know how to love a woman because I've seen my dad love my mom. And I'm sitting there just, he said, I know these because I've had a front row seat to see what it means to walk it out. And he introduced me and I walk up and I'm just weeping. And I said, you want me to speak after that? And I can't tell you one time I sat down with my boys and said, okay, we're going to have a Bible study. I just share. And I'm honest with them, guys, I'm struggling with this, but here's what I'm kind of learning, and here's what I'm trying to learn, and what are you going through? And, you know, there's a cool verse, and I'll text them a verse every now and then when they tell me something, but more will be caught than will ever be taught. And moms, let me encourage you this morning, if you're struggling, and maybe you're one of those moms with a child that's not flying straight or doing right, you seek the truth and let that freedom come from God to you. And I promise it will flow through you in that process. And God is God. We have a free will and it's not always going to work out perfect. But that gift of trusting the truth makes a huge difference. Another gift for you moms and us as well. Walk with Jesus. This one word I learned about 2 years ago. Now, I don't have time to go into the whole story, but I think I was scheduled to be here, and it's one of the few times I've ever missed an event. But 2 years ago, not quite 2 years ago, I was feeling a little bit run down. And again, I'm not going to tell you the full story. That's for another time, and I'll look forward to that. But a couple years ago, I had emergency quadruple bypass open heart surgery. And it came out of nowhere. Ran a couple tests, all four of the arteries in my heart. And I did not have a heart attack, but all four of them were over 99% blocked. Now, in case you're not good with math, there's not a lot left after 99%. And now some of you are looking really concerned. Let me just tell you, I'll ruin the ending for you. I made it, okay? So, but through that time, I really thought the physical part would be the most difficult to heal from. And it was hard, but it was not the most difficult. It was the emotional and the mental that went along with that. When you have a thoracic surgeon tell you, he told me 2 weeks after, he told my wife that night, he said, I have no idea how his heart was beating. He opened me up and he's like, how is this possible? And there's so many stories and so many lessons, but the one I learned most was this little word, this little four-letter word. I would sit in my basement during recovery, and I would do my walks, and I would do what I was supposed to do during the day, and it was a regimen to get better. But it established this time. And as much as I felt like my life to that point was doing whatever I can do for God because of what he's done for me, with forgiveness and direction and wisdom, I want to do for God. I learned That's not in this book. Because God's not really interested in what we do for him. He's interested in what we do with him. And letting him, inviting him, engaging him with us during our day makes all the difference. I've come to know a couple verses from that have become my favorite, my absolute favorite. In Isaiah 41:10, and if you're going through any part of life of difficulty now or in the future, I would encourage you memorize this. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I'll never forget sitting in my basement with my Bible open in that verse and just weeping, going, "God, did you mean that for me? I mean now. I'm not supposed to be alive. And Lord, can I have that verse?" And I just sense God just going, "Yeah, I want to walk with you through this." It's very clear in Scripture that when we come to Christ and we follow him, it doesn't make the world rosy and everything goes perfect. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Let me walk with you through this." There's another amazing verse in Psalms that I love. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." And I just grabbed onto that. Psalm 34 has become one of my favorite Psalms. I read it too many times, I can't even count it anymore. And then in Psalm 118, one of my favorites, "The Lord is by my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And I hope none of you ever have to walk through that, but when you literally walk through the valley of the shadow of death, my heart was stopped for 4 hours. And the doctor said, "I'm not supposed to be alive." When you walk through that, what are you going to do to me? You know, what is the world going to throw at me? It's changed my perspective. It's been a mama mia moment of just, "Lord, you're with me. You are with me, and I'm so thankful." So here's my encouragement. That's a gift. It's a gift for you and I to be able to literally have God walk with us, but it's a gift that has to be opened. And the opening of that gift is our willingness to be honest, to sit with God one-on-one and just say, "Lord, here's what I'm frustrated with. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm hopeful of. Here's what I'm excited about. Here it is, Lord. Walk with me. Will you give me wisdom?" And here's what I've discovered, that as I get honest with God, he does not always just remove it and resolve it. Sometimes he gives me peace in the middle of it. Complete peace that cannot be explained. In the heart situation, I had total peace. I knew that I was about to close my eyes and the next face I see is Heather, my wife, or Jesus, and that's it. And I cannot put it into words. I was just ready. Sometimes he gives power, the strength to get through it in a way that we don't have on our own. I've experienced that. And sometimes he just gives perspective of, this is not as big as you think that it is. Think of Jesus in the bow of the boat with the storm and the disciples going, "We're going to die." And he's like, "No, you're really not. Shh." And it was quiet. It's a perspective. But that's what happens when we bring and acknowledge he is with us. God is not up there. He's not out there. He's right here. And I love this friend of ours, their little four-year-old, after she had heard that I was having open heart surgery. This is precious. She just said to her dad, "I'm praying for Mr. Ken." He said, "Good." And she said, "Did he fall out?" And they said, "Did he fall out of what?" "No, did Jesus fall out?" And they said, "What do you mean?" "Well, he had open heart surgery. Did Jesus fall out?" And he said, "Well, baby, I don't know if he did, but they put him back in if he did. So it's okay." That's how tight we are. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And when we acknowledge that and we walk with Jesus, that's that moment that changes everything. And finally, if you're here this morning, and it appears like most of you are, if you haven't gotten a gift for your mom yet, let me encourage you with a couple gifts to mom. Now, let me ask this first. How many of you have a mother or have at some point in your life have had a mother at any point? Raise your hands real quick. Okay. There's literally like three or four people that did not raise their hands. So you're a test tube baby? What is that? But here's the deal. This is one of the greatest gifts, and I can say as a parent, I echo this, but in 3 John, at the end of the Bible, 3 John 1:4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now I can vouch for moms who have validated that in me. One of the pieces that I did for my mom, I said, Mom, what do you want? What do you need? And she's like, I want you to pressure wash my sidewalk and my driveway. And I'm like, so I did this past week. I pressure washed the sidewalk. But in a card, to be able to tie a truth to what you've seen your mother is one of the greatest gifts we can give them. Mom, I know what it means to be a loyal friend because I've seen you do that. Mom, I know what it means to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep because I learned it from you. To take a truth and say, I walk in this because of you. Even if it's a card, take a truth, make a reference, write it out and say, this is why. You are Jesus with skin on. That's why I do this. And then Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. To walk in the truth, to see their children walking in the truth. I see this in my sons. I'm like, you know what? I share this with you because I know the truth. My sons are right now, they're discovering that, wait a minute, it's not just about dating anymore. I'm in college and this could be my wife. This is serious stuff. And I'm like, that's why I've shared these truths with you, because I know if you take these truths and you live them out, you will be fulfilled. It's not without problems, but you will find that person. And finally, Jesus said it this way in the second part of John 10:10. He said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly to the full. I would say this, we are not capable of experiencing the fulfillment, the significance, and the joy that we were meant to have in this life apart from these gifts. We're not capable. For a moment, yes, but not sustaining. To get a glimpse, yes, but not a fulfilling of it. So I would ask you and I this morning to consider which of these gifts is that moment for me that I need to take. And here's the question, are you getting all you need to live this life to the fullest? And if not, open the gift. And I would even say today, have a Mama Mia moment and take that to heart. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your truth, because your truth really does set us free. And I thank you also for moms. Lord, just what a gift that you created it that way. That we would have this one person, no matter how big of a knucklehead we are, they believe in us. And they see the potential that we cannot see. And in our greatest failures, they see only the promise. So Lord, I thank you for moms. I thank you for truth. I thank you for these moments and these gifts that you have literally put in front of us. I pray that we would open them and be doers of them so that we can experience your fullness of life. And it's only through Christ, the power that raised him from the dead that lives in us, that we have the privilege of praying because of the grace that you gave to us. In Jesus, amen. Thank you for letting me share with you guys this morning. Bless you.